From pet hoarding to dog fighting to stray cats and dogs, if it has four legs and a problem, chances are the Ingham County Animal Control Division will be called in to help. Today, we thought we'd explore just what issues plague our animal population with Jamie McLoon-Lampman. She's the director of Ingham County's Animal Control. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi.
Hi. So could you start kind of by telling us what are some of the major animal control responsibilities that you deal with in Ingham County?
Well, predominantly we're there to protect people, but also to protect pets. So we're protecting both of them from each other, more or less. In addition to being the law enforcement entity in animal welfare in Ingham County, we're also a sheltering entity. We provide shelter and care for approximately about 2 to 220 animals on any given day here in Ingham County at our shelter. So it's two big jobs in one.
So a few years back, there was a significant problem with dog fighting in the county. What's the situation like now? Are you still finding a lot of abused dogs who were used in fighting?
Well, the dog fighting definitely has seen a decline in Ingham County. That's not to say that it's not still out there in all our bordering counties, because they just seem to have just gone past that county line where we can't touch them. So we still are seeing the remnants of dog fighting. We've got a lot of people in Ingham County that are still breeding pit bulls for the purpose of selling them to dog fighters or to train them in dog fighting. But the big dog fighting rings that we once had 5 to 8 years ago pretty much are gone. A lot of them are in prison, dead, or have moved on. But like I said, there's still what we call the hobbyists, and these are the teenagers that are out there having some of the fights set up in their garages, the parks, and some of the alleyways, things like that, just kind of hit and miss fights. But still, the end result is pretty bad. You have an animal that's brutally hurt, sometimes dead, and left behind with no care. And we usually pick those animals up.
And what are some of the, when you pick those animals up, what are some of the issues that I guess they have to overcome? Are they typically rehabilitated? And
Some are, but many can't be. And that's because the aggression level is so high. What makes a fighting dog a good fighting dog is a heavy prey drive, but I mean just a very heavy prey drive, where they are so focused, they want to get that animal at all costs. They're willing to fight at all costs. They're willing to continue in a fight with a broken leg, an eye missing, an ear torn. 40 minutes into a fight, they're still going at it. That's a game dog. That's a dog that any fighter is going to want, and they're going to want to breed it also to sell those puppies, because gameness in a dog is the most valuable commodity in a dog. Many of these street level fights that we find, these are just pets sometimes. I mean, these dogs really aren't fighters. You might get one that's got some game in it, and they're fighting it with somebody else's beloved pit bull that has no intention of fighting. And that's the saddest part at all, when these animals are subjected to that, or somebody steals a dog for the purpose of fighting, which is called a bait dog. Those are the sad ones. Often when we pick them up, they're severely injured. Sometimes they're dead, of course. We can rehabilitate some of them, the ones that don't have that heavy prey drive, but I would say it's about a 50-50 on those. But yeah, a lot of medical care goes into those dogs to get them to recover if they're going to be suitable for rehoming. If they're not suitable for rehoming, they're humanely euthanized.
You mentioned pit bulls there, and I feel like a lot of people associate fighting dogs with pit bulls.
And they shouldn't.
Talk about that a little bit.
You know, they shouldn't. It's actually a smaller percentage that actually are the fighting dogs, but yet those dogs are taking all the attention. Anytime there's a child attacked or another fight occurs, it's always a pit bull is predominantly what they promote on there. And it's true, it's the most popular dog right now. Everybody wants one. Everyone has one. It seems like all the wrong people have them as well. They seem to be the biggest draw for the wrong type of pet owners. So those are the ones that are neglectful, bad pet owners. Let them run at large, let them breed at random, and don't care for them. And they're often abandoned. Pit bulls in the Lansing area are the number one stolen dog. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, but we are seeing some results of some of the programs that we do. We've got a pit stop program where you can spay or neuter pit bulls for a fairly cheap price. And so we're seeing a decline. I mean, when I got there, it was probably 80% pit bulls at our shelter. That was almost 9 years ago. Now we're down to probably about 60%, and that's declining. So that's significant. We're seeing that decline. People are spaying and neutering and getting smart about training their dogs and telling us when there's some bad pit not pit bull owners, but dog pet owners are being reported more.
You mentioned dog theft there. Is that something that's a common issue that you deal with?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's really common, but we do have stolen dogs in Lansing. But of the dogs that we get reported as stolen, pit bull seems to be a higher percentage. Certainly. We have a lost and found registry at our shelter, so we keep track of all the animals in Ingham County that are lost or missing or found. A lot of people find the dogs and report that they found them and keep them in their homes until they can either rehome them or find the owner. By law, they have to hang on to them for the 7 days and notify a local agency that they have them. So if an owner calls, we have that information.
What are some of the other major problems that you encounter?
Well, irresponsible pet owners is the biggest one, and that's the people who don't take care of their pets properly. I would say hoarders are a big issue for us. We deal with that every day. It's when we go into a house and we don't find one or two cats, we find 50 to 75 cats, and they're all in horrible condition. Or we find 35 dogs in a house, something like that. That's not uncommon. And like I said, it happens every day. I mean, this past month, it's been brutal for us. You know, we had one place where we took 31 dogs and 9 cats out of one home. We had, you know, not, but maybe 2 weeks later, we took another 40 cats out of another home. So those really put a lot of pressure on us as a shelter that has limited capacity to be able to get through that and not euthanize animals because of lack of space. We try very hard to make sure we get animals placed as much as possible. So we've got to move quickly, you know. So hoarding cases are really hard on animal shelters.
And how typically when there's a hoarding case, how is that reported? Does someone notice, hey, this person's got 50 cats over here and call it in?
Or? It comes from all different places. It comes from the mailman who says the stench on the front porch is so bad he can hardly deliver the mail there anymore, to the cable guy, to the utility workers, to the neighbor next door who's just simply tired of all those cats running across their yard or dead cats in the road, that sort of thing. A family member who just says, I've had enough. Someone needs to, you know, do some intervention here. Schools, the children come to school, they smell bad, and they tell them how they have, you know, 15 dogs. You know, it's a lot of different resources, and people need to report that to us because we've often been able to get in and do some intervention, which also helped the children in the household as well, because the kids are living in that environment as well. Mm-hmm. Senior citizens are living in those environments as well. So, you know, pet problems are people problems. There's always a human associated with that problem, and they often need help as well.
What about exotic pets? Do you have any issues with exotic pets here?
You know, we don't. No, not really. It's really mine. Thank God, because I worked for 19 years in Oklahoma, and that was a real issue down there. I mean, it was not unusual to deal with cougars and leopards and tigers and things like that. They were very common at the auctions. They call them the live auctions down there, and they were fairly cheap. So I'm just blessed that I don't have to deal with that up here, because it's a nightmare. You really have to know what you're doing. Rehoming those animals is so difficult, because all the sanctuaries that house those exotics are full. And so it's very difficult when you have that problem. So right now, I wouldn't say that's much of a problem on our take.
You said you worked in Oklahoma. What was it like working in Oklahoma compared to here, beyond the exotic pets? Were there any other major differences?
When I was in Oklahoma, it was a no-kill shelter down there, and we did most of the investigations for several counties in the area. We did the cruelty investigations. So we dealt with a lot of horses. At that time, ostrich was the new white meat, so there was a lot of ostriches farms going under at the time because they really weren't the new white meat. No one was buying it, so we were dealing with a lot of abandoned ostriches and emus, and so rounding those up was always a challenge. But I was in Norman, Oklahoma, which is a very progressive area of Oklahoma. So it was a great experience, but it was a little different in the fact that some of the animals were different.
What are some of the stranger cases you've dealt with in Ingham County?
I don't know. Strange is. I don't know. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I'm going on almost 27 years in this business, and nothing surprises me anymore. I couldn't say that I've had a very strange one. I've had a lot of very interesting ones, and the ones that deal with the children and the animals are probably the hardest ones to take. Mm-hmm. Our officers knock on a lot of doors, and those doors often have felons behind it. They have domestic violence going on behind it, child abuse. So, there's just so many different areas that we touch on that people don't understand with animal control. And it's a valued service that the officers highly skilled, and they should be in all animal control agencies, which is not necessarily the case. We don't put a lot of resources through the state of Michigan and our animal control officers as Ingham County does. Ingham County is quite an exception, in my opinion.
How'd you get into this business?
Actually, I was writing a story. I was at the School of Journalism at the Oklahoma University, and I did a story on animal shelters. That's how I started. But I was putting myself through college as a veterinary technician. So just one thing led to the other. So yeah, just a great interest in it, passion for it. Just always wanting to do everything we can to get those animals out the front door.
And Jamie McAloon-Lampman is the director of Ingham County Animal Control. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.